Great. Excellent. Well, good morning, Culduffel. Did I say well, Culduffel Christian Church? That's amazing. It's fantastic to be here this weekend. You've been really, really friendly and welcoming. And it seems that I'm in Scotland every couple of months now. I'm doing different events throughout your wonderful country. Maybe God's sort of trying to tell me something. You do accept Welsh people into Scotland, do you? Yeah, but not English, is that right? Great. But yes, it was a fantastic night last night. The weather was great. The food was amazing. Just the fellowship, you guys who were there who served did an awesome job. But more importantly, you know, we saw an awesome God moved by his spirit, touching people's lives. And we saw perhaps two or three people who made that first time commitment to put their trust in Jesus. Isn't that amazing? I love it. And so if you weren't here last night, you wouldn't have heard my story of how I overcame a life of crime, drugs, and a prison 15 years ago. My story's told in a book called The Real Deal. I do have some copies at the cap stand later, so come and see me. I know people in the Highlands love a good offer, a good deal, so I'm going to do a real deal offer for you today. So book RRP's £8.99 today, special offer £5. Come and see me later. Also, almost hot off the press, a more recent book, Fixed Lives, 12 powerful stories of people who have come through crazy situations, backgrounds in their lives, but lives transformed by the power of God. J. John wrote the foreword for this. I've got a few copies of these left as well, £5 for that. So I've been involved now in the work of Christians Against Poverty for 9 years. The first 5 years, I did a debt center manager role, just like Alan does here, in a place called Widnes, which is a small town by Liverpool. And I got involved in CAP after reading the book, Nevertheless, which is the journey of CAP, which was written by the director, national director, John Kirkby. And after I read the book, the reality hit me, okay, that in my own town, in my own neighborhood, in my own street, there were people, probably 1 in 9 houses, where people behind that door were struggling with financial difficulty. And everything that comes with that, the depression, the anxiety, the fears, the suicidal thoughts. And it really stirred my heart to want to do something, to get involved. And I spoke to my pastors at the church. And within 6 months, I was up at head office in Bradford being trained for the debt center manager role. This was in 2009. And since then, okay, I've had the opportunity to witness firsthand how powerful God's love is in bringing transformation to people's lives. And you know, it's great. You know, over that 5 years, me and my wife made so many friends through the opportunities we had in connecting with people who came through our CAP service. And me and my wife live in Bradford now. God moved us to work sort of based at head office in Bradford. And very often, most weeks or every couple of weeks, we hear from one of our old clients who will text us or come and visit. Or when we go to visit Cheshire, we'll visit them. And that's what God has done. And over that time, we saw over 40 of our clients make commitments to follow Jesus Christ. Most of them are still in church today, embracing discipleship, loving Jesus, and their lives are, you know, completely transformed. And that's the power of the gospel. And 9 years in, I'm still in awe with what God is doing all around England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, Australia, Canada, and New Zealand, where we have a CAP presence now as well. And my other role for CAP is that I train up other evangelists as well. So part of my role is I go around the country, around the UK, speaking at outreach events similar to what I did last night, and also train and mentor 15 other emerging evangelists for CAP to do exactly the same. So as an evangelist, that's the best job you could possibly have, to actually go out and do the stuff as well, see people make that decision to trust Jesus and to empower and equip other people to do the same. And I just want to say and big up this church. I love visiting churches who are not scared to get their hands dirty. And it really blessed my heart yesterday hearing from Alan and Angus and other people, Tom, involved in different ministries, about what you're doing, obviously through CAP, and through the shed, through your amazing children's work you do there. It's incredible that you have the opportunity just to sow into these young, precious souls. And just through the cafe and through other things that you're doing, sort of the hobby groups, you've got your knit and natters and the photography, all great. Because I look at it, when I ever go to a church and see what they're doing, I'm straight away, oh, what an amazing outreach opportunity that is. Anything that you're connecting with the unchurched people in your community, that's an outreach opportunity. So give yourselves a pat on the back. You're doing an amazing thing, and the best is yet to come, absolutely. You're going to see more fruit from what you're doing, without a doubt. And so, yes, for those of you perhaps, you may be new to the church, you perhaps weren't here if you've ever had a CAP speaker before talk about CAP. So just briefly, I'll give you a bit of a history on CAP. We're 21 years now in existence. CAP started in 1996 by the director, John Kirkby. 2 years previous, he had a Christian conversion. Really, after hitting rock bottom, he had an alcohol addiction. He was in debt himself. His whole world fell apart. But then he had an encounter with God. God changed his life. And then he had a real heart of compassion to reach people who were in financial difficulty in the city of Bradford where he lived. So with a £10 donation, CAP was started. John went out to visit people in their homes. And he began to see families becoming debt-free. He began to see people make that commitment to follow Jesus Christ. And 21 years on later, we've now got CAP, over 300 debt centres throughout England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. We have actually 600 church-based services altogether throughout the UK. That's 300 debt centres and 300 other services, which are a mix of our CAP release groups now, which is a service that helps people who are struggling with life-controlling habits. Could be alcohol, it could be drugs, could be gambling, could be pornography, could be social media, anything, caffeine even, that would be mine now, caffeine. But anything, and so we equip people to help them overcome those issues. We also set up CAP job clubs 3 years ago, I believe, now. And every single year, we see 700 or 800 people find work through our job clubs. And again, great evangelistic opportunity. And recently, we set up CAP Life Skills, just to help people who are just struggling with just life issues and life skills, struggling with everyday life. And again, we seek just to befriend them and love them and equip them just with just basic skills such as cookery, all that kind of stuff, budgeting, cleaning. And again, they're all inroads to people's lives where we can just demonstrate God's love and kindness. So as I said, we see over 700-800 people find work every year. We help almost 3,000 people out of debt every year. When I say that, that's actually them becoming debt-free. We see many released from addictions, life-controlling habits. But more importantly, every year we see now over 1,000 of our clients make that step to put their trust in Jesus, to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we get to celebrate that at head office. Whenever the center manager lets us know about that commitment, we ring a fire alarm at head office. It rings, and 250 staff at head office in Bradford, we stop what we do and we pray for that family. And we celebrate and we give glory to God because it's all about Him and He gets all the glory. To date, we're almost at 7,000 now, 7,000 people who've said yes to Jesus Christ. And I know it's not about numbers, but it's about us faithfully being obedient to the call of the gospel, isn't it? The call, the Great Commission. But them are the people who have made some level of commitment to follow Jesus, and it's amazing. And the same is happening in Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. God has done and He's doing a great thing. And what a privilege it is that God would choose us, would choose each and every one of us. Yeah, He would save us. He would set us apart to serve His plans and purposes to reach the lost and hurting world with this greatest message, the greatest message ever told. And whether it's through CAP or any other sphere of influence that you may find yourselves positioned in, we get to represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He calls us His ambassadors. And there's nothing more rewarding when we have the opportunity to walk with those who are limping along in life, supporting them, loving them, demonstrated God's compassion, letting our light shine, reflecting Jesus, doing really what we're supposed to do as Christians. And I just want to read this verse from Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16 from The Message. I love this. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. 7,000 of our clients have now opened up to God, our generous Father in heaven, because the light that has shined into their lives, that steered them out of darkness. How amazing is that? And I just want to, you know, on behalf of CAP, just thank you for the part that you're playing in doing that, in changing people's eternal destinies, assisting in freeing people from financial bondage and giving them Jesus. It's why we do what we do, because we know that one encounter with Jesus Christ changes everything. So thank you, for the lady, I forget your name, for reading Mark chapter 2. You read that very well, much better than what I would have done. And I just want to share a few things from this chapter, from this story of the paralyzed man who was brought to Jesus by his four friends. Because I can see so many parallels with this story in relation to what we do at CAP, through what you do through local church, but also what we should be doing through our own personal evangelism. Yes, I said it, the E word, evangelism. Please don't switch off. Don't walk out because you think I've sworn. It's all right to say evangelism in church? Is that all right? Good. Don't be scared. So my prayer this morning, okay, is that we will all be provoked, challenged once again to be intentional with our outreach efforts, to see the unchurched more through the lens of God's eyes, through the lens of God's love, that we will be relentless in our love for people and, of course, more so for God. And that you will be able to see, perhaps with fresh eyes today, how you can be more effective with your own evangelism, whether that's through CAP helping Alan or just through your own sphere of influence in your own world. So the way I look at evangelism is that as believers, our ultimate goal is to get people, whether family, friend, the person we are reaching out to through our various ministries, through CAP, you're involved, other ministry you're involved in, is to get that person to a place where they can meet with Jesus. That's our heart's desire, isn't it? We want them to meet the Jesus that has saved us, that has set us free, because we know what can happen when that happens. And just as these four friends were doing, okay, they were being stretcher bearers for the paralytic, and that's what, in a sense, we are doing, or we do through CAP. We're stretcher bearers, or what I say, we're kingdom stretcher bearers. So I just want to paraphrase and that story. So here we have Jesus, he's ministering in this house. And somewhere up the road, there's a paralyzed man who, by his own efforts, because of his limitations, he's not going to get to Jesus by himself. But to save the day, four of his friends, or four people filled with compassion, four CAP workers, they come along and they're compelled to get their friend to Jesus. They become his stretcher bearers. And the reality is, for people who do not know Christ, they're spiritually crippled because, and will remain in that spiritual crippled place until they encounter the one who can make them spiritually whole. And whether it's through one of our CAP services, through the debt center, the release groups, job club, life skills, whether it's through a food bank type ministry, creating volunteer opportunities through the shed, whether it's reaching out to your friends, your work colleagues, you're doing the same as what these four people are doing for the paralytic. You're being their stretcher bearers to those who are crippled spiritually, to those who are crippled because of debt and its causes, feeling paralyzed because of their depression and anxiety, bound by past hurts and pains they've carried for so long, or the person who seems to have everything together, but deep down inside they're empty and they're lost. And our mission isn't just to offer a helping hand. You know, CAP's mission is not just to see people become debt-free or find employment, but ultimately is to assist them, okay, to get to them to a place where they can meet with Jesus. Just like you did last night by creating that opportunity, okay, for the gospel to to be preached. Of course, they've seen the gospel in action through your acts of love and kindness and stuff that you've all been sharing. You do the hard work, and the evangelists like myself will come along and quite often, you know, throw the net out and, you know, see people respond. That's the different roles that we have, you know, in the kingdom. But you created those opportunities, and that is amazing. You're being stretcher bearers. So the way I look at it, that the four CAP services, that's what they are. They're vehicles, they're stretchers by which we bring Jesus to our precious clients. And, you know, you're their stretcher bearers, whether you're directly involved in the befriending, whether you volunteer perhaps in a different area, whether you pray, whether you offer lifts to bring people to church. That's in my, when I was a death center manager, that was the most important ministry in the church, giving lifts to people who couldn't get there by themselves. So those of you who do that, nice one. That's an amazing ministry to have. Maybe just give financially to enable the work to be done, whether locally or nationally, and that's an amazing thing as well. And for a moment, I just want you to think about your journey to faith. I'm sure you could think of people who were played quite an important part in your journey, people who were your stretcher bearers too. So looking at this story, I want to share with you four or five essentials that made their evangelism effective, and also what will make your evangelism both corporately and individually effective too. The first one is compassion. These four men demonstrated compassion. Compassion is love in action. A compassionate heart is vital when it comes to effective evangelism. Everything Jesus did came from a place of compassion. You read the Gospels, it would say, you know, often does it say that Jesus was moved by compassion. He was filled with compassion, and it always resulted in an action. You know, he healed the sick, he fed the poor, he taught people the way to eternal life because he saw how lost they were, like sheep without a shepherd. Compassion is where it starts, is when you pick up a stretcher. It's when Alan and a befriender walks through the front door of a client's house. It's when you welcome clients in the church. And it was great seeing you connect to people last night and just being so friendly and loving and accepting. It's when cupboards are empty and you're able to take a food parcel along to a client and bless them with that and just say, this is a blessing. We just want to, you know, bless you and love you. And, you know, if you're struggling again, then give us a call. It's when you go and put on gas and electricity for clients who perhaps... you walk into a freezing house. I did that many times in the winter. It's when you invite clients around to your house for a meal. Me and my wife, our first clients, we invited a family of three round to pizza. We had takeout pizza. They'd never had takeout pizza before. And they even took the leftovers home and had it for breakfast the next day. And it was just things we take for granted. Compassion is being doers of the word, not just sayers. It's when you step into their world and tell them, actually, everything's going to be okay. Yeah, it's not going to be a quick fix overnight, but if they, you know, carry on with the debt program that we put in place and, you know, they embrace the support that you offer them, the befriending, then it is going to be okay. One in three contemplate suicide. They think about ending their lives because of debt. That is so awful. Three out of four of our clients suffer from mental health issues. It was compassion that caused John Kirkby to take a risk all those years ago to take a step of faith when most people didn't believe in him. But he knew what God had said. And look what's happened 21 years on. Compassion is a powerful thing that shows off Jesus to a lost and hurting world. It shows the world that we care. Evangelism essential number two, teamwork. It took four men to carry the stretcher. One man couldn't have done it by himself. I know I couldn't have done what I had done over that 5 years if I didn't have a team around me, a prayer team, a team of volunteers, prayer befrienders, the team at head office who did what I say, the boring stuff. They did all the budget plans. They battled with the bailiffs. They did the creditor phone calls. It's working together, isn't it? And together we're being stretcher bearers to our clients in all our different roles and responsibilities. It's not one that's better than the other. It's all exactly the same. It's all for the same cause, the same purpose, to see people won for the kingdom of God. Maybe you're new at church, or for whatever reason, you've not had the opportunity to get involved, as Alan said, in supporting Alan. I just want to challenge you today. Is there something that you can do? There's going to be a sign-up sheet at the end by the cap stand. And if there's something that you can do, maybe you can give an hour a week, maybe an hour a month. Maybe you can give a lift to a client. Maybe you can bake cakes and you can give Alan some cakes to take on a visit to a client. I used to love that. I had somebody in my church who did that, Julia. And sometimes it was a blessing when the client wasn't in. Yeah. Yeah. I will say no more. But just think of something. God's given you gifts and abilities and talents, okay? Have a think now what you could bring to the table to help Alan. And like I say, it might be just part of a prayer team. It might be organizing an event like last night, you know, taking the responsibility to do that. There's something I believe every single one of you can do. You can all pray anyway, that's for sure. So working together, the four men managed to get their friend to Jesus despite the obstacles that were on the journey. But even though there were obstacles, they didn't give up. They were relentless in the efforts because they knew the potential of the outcome. Evangelism outreach isn't easy. There's a lot of frustrations. There's a lot of disappointments. But it's just not, it's remembering to fix your eyes on Jesus. The four men kept their eyes fixed on Jesus, and that's what they went for. And sometimes you might sow into a person's life for months and years, and then you can perhaps never hear from them again. But remember, success in evangelism, okay, is not whether they come to Christ or not. It's having a go. It's being obedient to what God has called us to do. Okay, number three, the power of expectant faith. These men had faith. They were expectant that they would get their friend to Jesus. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is a confidence of what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Expectant faith is knowing the perfect will of heaven for the person you're reaching out to and partnering with God in agreement that he or she is going to be his. Expectant faith moves the heart and the hand of God. Their faith was demonstrated in their actions. I mean, they saw the house was full, inside and outside. But they weren't equipped for the mission. They weren't equipped with the right tools to be able to dig through the roof of the house. They went to cause criminal damage. I'm not saying that's okay, by the way, in your evangelism efforts. Don't want you getting arrested. But they weren't equipped for the mission. And do you know what? When we go out after souls, when we, you know, go with the intention to evangelize, God equips us with the tools that we need to see the breakthroughs that you're contending with whoever that person is. And faith creates a supernatural path where naturally it wouldn't be possible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I remember I would picture, and I'm sure Alan does this as well, I would picture and I would sit in clients' homes for the first time hearing their stories. And it'd be heartbreaking, some of the stories that we hear. And then I would just, faith would rise up and I would begin to picture them beyond that mountain of death, picture them free from depression, anxiety. I would picture them in church, worshiping Jesus with all their heart. And I lost count the amount of times where that became a reality. And that's really important, I think, that kind of faith, to really believe and see when they can't see that breakthrough themselves. And pray it through as well. Don't just picture it, pray it through. And you'll be amazed how God works in having that type of faith. Number four, the power of being a friend. Relationship, friendship, evangelism, certainly in the culture we live in, is the most effective way to introduce somebody to Jesus. In the world we're living in, people are crying out for true friendship, for people to love them. And there is something very powerful about being a friend, because genuine friends do things that others wouldn't. These four friends went the extra mile. It wasn't a planned debt visit. They saw an opportunity and they took it. They inconvenienced themselves. Friends do that. When you're reaching out, sometimes we have to inconvenience ourselves. And relationship, friendship, evangelism, it lays the foundation for trust to be built on. And when a level of trust is established, it creates a safe place for that person to share with you, to open up and share personal things that perhaps they've never shared before. And those are such humbling moments when somebody you've not known for so long feels it safe to confide in you. And as they tell your story, you sort of earn the right then just to share your story and tell them about Jesus. But that, to get to that place, it takes time, it takes determination, it does require inconvenience yourself. And it may be that, you know, sometimes, you know, you might start even today by committing to taking somebody out, a client out for a coffee, maybe once a week, invite them round to your house for a meal, take them to an activity group, go for a walk. You know, there's so many things you can do to make a difference in people's lives. Being a friend was something that was important to Jesus. He hung out with social outcasts, with what some people would have called the last and least, outsiders. He showed how valued they were, how interested he was in their lives. He wouldn't look at the trash, he would look at the treasure. There's treasure inside every person. It's our job to draw out that treasure, to draw out that gold. There was no hidden agenda with Jesus, but to demonstrate the Father's love and be a good influence. Jesus believed in the chief tax collector, Zacchaeus, a man who was hated by most. Didn't have many friends, perhaps not any. But Jesus said to him, I'm going to come round your house today, Zacchaeus. Put the kettle on, get the chocolate digestives out. Let's see what's going on in your life. We don't know exactly what went on in that house, but we know he had a heart change because he had an encounter with truth. Because Jesus accepted him. Okay, when everybody else rejected him, didn't like him, Jesus accepted him and loved him. And Zacchaeus went to put his wrongs right. Now he had a story to tell. And last one, the power of your story. You've all got a story to tell. You know, as soon as the paralytic met with Jesus, Jesus not only forgave him of his sins, but healed him physically as well. And Jesus said to him, take up your stretcher and go home. So the paralytic was able to take hold of the one thing that took hold of him. They saw him on his stretcher, but now he was carrying his stretcher. What a testimony, okay, people have, or clients have, or you have as well. As you can share, actually, that one thing that bound you, but God set you free, he saved you from, and now you're able to use that to testify to his goodness. I love it when every day we get story after story coming through on email to head office saying about clients, you know, not just giving their lives to Jesus, but overcoming addictions, finding freedom, marriage reconciliations, all that kind of stuff. Testimonies are powerful. And the devil doesn't want you to share the testimony because he knows how powerful your testimony is. When it comes to evangelism, we all have an important role to play. And in fact, it's a non-negotiable. Charles Swindoll once said, the Great Commission is the great commission, not the great suggestion. And I hope, you know, before we wrap up and before I show a DVD, I hope there's something I've said this morning that has perhaps provoked you, challenged you to consider somebody in your sphere of influence. Maybe even now, think of that one person in your world that's not a Christian, okay? And just be intentional about praying for them over the next 12 months. Being intentional about creating opportunities for you just to share your story, invite to events like last night or other stuff that you might be going on, and pray for them every day and just see what the Lord will do. And I just want to share in a moment, or if you get the video ready, we're going to play a short video of one of our clients' testimonies. Like I say, we hear thousands and thousands of stories every year of clients' lives who have been transformed by our work. And CAP's vision is to have 1,000 services in operation throughout the UK over the next 4 years. The need is huge, and I personally believe that one in every two households, okay, the one person living in every two households would find a benefit from accessing one of our four services. I really believe that. People like Kylie, whose story I'm going to show in a moment. And at CAP, we wouldn't be able to do what we do without the support, the prayers, and the financial giving from people who see what they do, they believe what they do, and they choose to sow into the ministry. And I just want to thank you on behalf of Alan, actually, for those locally that have sown into the local CAP Centre here and have enabled to do what Alan and the team do. It's an amazing thing that you do. And, you know, it's making a difference. And also for those who give to National CAP as well. I know some of you give regularly, life changes. And, yes, an incredible thing because we don't get any government funding, really, because of how much we promote the Christian faith. You know, it's with no restraints whatsoever. We promote Jesus and that's it. So we don't get any government funding. We rely on the generosity of people every single month just giving a small amount of money. And as I show the video, may I ask, you know, if you perhaps today, if you're not already a life changer, whether you perhaps would consider giving a few pounds each month to help the work of Christians Against Poverty. Maybe you're already a giver and you're able to perhaps increase a few pounds as well. And as you came in, you had one of these forms and you should have a pen as well. And maybe as you're watching the video or a minute afterwards, you're able to fill in the form if that's you and you really feel you're able to do that. And at the end, you can come and give the forms in at the desk, and also pick up a free copy of either Nevertheless or one of the latest ones, Journeys of Hope, which is 12 stories of clients. And maybe you just want to be put on the mailing list today, and that's fine. You can still get a free book. So again, fill in the form, and just we'll have your details, and we'll send out, I think it's 4 quarterly emails every year, just to keep you updated of our work so that you can pray. So while you're considering, while you're perhaps filling in the form, we're just going to show this video.